soil and wherefore toil, our home is God by sea. Our land abounds in nature's gifts of beauty rich and rare. In history's page let every state advance Australia.
Please note that tonight's meeting, other than the confidential session, are being recorded and will be placed on the Council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing Council should be aware that you may be recorded. Council values the unique status of Aboriginal people as the original owners and custodians of the lands and waters, including the lands and waters of Penrith City. Council values the unique status of Torres Strait Islander people as the original owners and custodians of the Torres Strait Islands and surrounding waters. We work together for a united Australia and city that respects this land of ours, that values the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural heritage and provides justice and equity for all.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, tonight as we gather together as a council, we affirm that you are the giver and sustainer of life. We come together as representatives of our community to make decisions that will benefit this city and the people within it. We come not in a spirit of competition, not as adversaries, but as colleagues. Help us to treat each other with respect, with dignity, with interest and with honesty. Help us not just to hear the words we say, but also to hear each other's hearts. We seek to be wise in all that we say and do. As we meet, our concern is for this city. Grant us wisdom, courage and strength. Lord, help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, councillors, and welcome back for a new year. Just wanted to, as you can see, Councillor Hitchens is actually online tonight as her plane has been stuck and been delayed. So welcome, Councillor Hitchens. I will try to get through this as painlessly as possible, councillors. Okay. Leaves of absences. I have one for John Thane as of this meeting only. And also for Councillor Jim Aiken for the next three consecutive meetings. Can I get a mover and seconder, please? And a producer, seconder. All in favour? Declare that carried. Any apologies? I've received one. One for Councillor Pullen. Any other apologies? I think we're all here. Can I get someone to move the apology for Councillor Pullen, please? Thank you, Councillor Kemery. Thank you, Councillor. Okay. All right. Can I get someone to confirm the previous meeting minutes, please? Mover? Councillor Davies? Councillor Kremery. Thank you. All in favour? Declare that carried. Any declarations of interest? Councillor Petusa.
Item three, request for major event sponsorship. Non-pecuniary, less than significant. I'll stay in the meeting but will not comment, will not vote.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other pecuniary interests? Okay.
No one addressing Council
tonight. I have one mayoral minute. I am saddened by the news that Emu Plains artist and author Susan Oxenham passed away in late 2022. Susan lived with vision impairment and was an inspiration to many, as she focused on her strengths and created stunning, thought-provoking artworks. At just two, Susan started to draw and paint after her parents were told she would eventually lose her sight. At 17, she was legally blind in one eye. Her vision in the other eye continued to deteriorate. But despite this, Susan's ability to and prominence as an artist only grew. In 2016, Susan's exhibition, Long Sighted, at the library launch at Penrith City's Library, and featured a series of 10 artworks representing her journey with macular degeneration. In 2019, Susan spent weeks in Nepean Hospital following major brain surgery. She used this time to connect with other patients by holding informal art classes. Susan had a long relationship with the Penrith Regional Gallery, where she recently undertook a three-month residency program. She worked with Lewis Gallery's Heritage Garden to source plant cuttings used in her colourful and textural artworks for her soaking up the Senses exhibition. Susan also created annual calendars showcasing her immense talent and her 2020 inspiration calendar as no exception. I had the pleasure of meeting, or Councillor Hitchens had the pleasure of meeting Susan, and can say that her personality was as vibrant as her artwork. Susan's legacy lived on, and I am pleased that Council featured Susan and one of her great pieces on the cover of the 2021 Penrith Disability Snapshot, as she inspired many people living with disabilities to pursue their passion and encourage other community members to harness their creative power. On behalf of Council and my Council colleagues, I thank Susan and for her contribution to the city, and send my condolences to her family, friends, supporters and advocates. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Hitchens. Do you want to second that, Councillor Hitchens? You're on mute. You're okay?
Yes, sorry, thank you. I would like to second that.
You're on mute, Councillor Hitchens.
Okay, sorry, I'm not used to using the laptop. Yes, thank you for that. I met Sue a couple of times. Her artwork was incredible for someone who had such limited vision, but she had such a personality as well, and she had that feeling that, you know, nothing was going to hold her back from achieving what she wanted to achieve. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have met her and seen her artwork, and I do pass on my condolences to her family and friends and all her supporters. For it is a great loss to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hitchens. Madam Mayor.
No, you already moved it. Drew seconded it, so that's okay.
Right, moving on to notices of motion. Councillor Cramery. I have 5 minutes. Can I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Before I start, did we not have any OAMs or anything in the honours list this year?
There was two from St Clair Comets.
Just that we didn't have a mural minute on it, and I thought this is the first time we've never had anybody in there. Anyway, thank you. Yes, I'd like to move this motion. Would you like to second it? Right, second it. The staffing levels, I raised this because there are so many issues that I have been trying to get sorted out, and we're already 12 months or more into this term of council, and I'm glad to see that council officers have finally taken up the cudgel on this. This department is one of the most important departments in our city. If it collapses, then everything's just going haywire. And if you look at a lot of the things that I have raised, like 9th Avenue East, 12 months and nothing has happened there. There's so many of them that I'm hoping now we might get some answers on 6th Avenue, 9th Avenue East, 8th Avenue, the dam on 8th Avenue and 2nd Avenue. These things are affecting people's lives, their homes, their property, and we haven't got the staff, and I keep getting the answers, it's not too important. I would hope now that these positions are filled as soon as possible and that we get some action on all these items, and I would like to have a meeting with council officers to see what's going on with all of these items. You know, we've got a couple of places like up on 7th Avenue and the old farm that was up there. They are now just earth-moving equipment and stockpiles. It's nothing to do with the rural area whatsoever. And council officers have been notified about it.
Councillor Camry, can we stick to your motion, please?
Beg pardon?
Can we stick to your motion, please, in relation to the funding? You're just going offline a little bit there.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
I said, can you stick to your motion, please? It's about the about funding of staff.
Yeah, it is.
We're starting to go on to other items.
Yeah, now that we've got these and we can get on to doing it, I'd like to have a meeting with council officers to see what we're going to prioritise and what we can do about all these things that are happening and where nothing has happened in the last 12 months. So I don't want to go into detail at this meeting on those things, but when you've got truckloads of stuff dumped beside your house that's rotting, it makes it very difficult. So I'd just like an update as soon as possible on the staffing and what's going to be done and when. Thank you very much for your concern.
I'll put that motion to the council. Seconder, would you like to speak?
No.
Councillor Day?
That's fine. I have no
comments. Any other speakers on? Councillor Fowler.
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I think we really do need to concentrate, council as a body needs to concentrate on this a lot more effectively and efficiently than what I perceive it has been done in the past. There are a number of issues, and a lot of them are stemming from the advent of the Western Sydney Airport. There are a number of, for want of a better description, cowboys out there who think they can do anything at any time and anywhere.
Yep.
We need to be definitely more proactive as a council, and we need to be, I suppose, firm in what we do and more, I suppose, timely in what we do, because a number of issues have arisen that have come to my attention which are completely disregarding both council orders, council officers, development applications that have been made and refused, and a number of other issues. And we really need to act quickly, effectively and efficiently, because if we don't do that, there'll be just more of them within the LGA. Now, I'm calling on this council to be much more active in that regard.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. Councillor Bertuzzo.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I was just going to thank the report that we actually got, supporting the providing the background there, and from Greg McCarthy, and suggest that a copy of this be given to Councillor Cramery, because he obviously didn't get it, because it quite clearly states the recruitment of additional staff has commenced and all staff are expected to be in place by the end of March 2023. And thank you very much for the information that was provided.
Thank you, Councillor.
Right of reply.
Right of reply, Councillor Cramer.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Councillor Bertusa for his comments, yes. I'm glad to see that he's read the business paper. And Councillor Fowler, it's great that we are going to get some support on this, that there are other people who drive around Penrith and look and say, we are going to look like Blacktown very shortly. So I appreciate your comments, Councillor Fowler, greatly. And I look forward to discussions on this later on. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'll put that to all the councillors. All in favour? All against? I declare that carried. Okay. Going to you, Councillor Cramery, your questions on notice. We've taken those questions.
I won't say much on this. I was unaware that the situation... Pardon?
I was just noting that there's a... I hadn't finished speaking yet, Councillor Cramery.
When you turn your mic on.
It is on. I was just saying I hadn't finished yet, Councillor Cramery. And there is a response to that motion within the business report.
Yeah, I was unaware that the things had changed over the years and there was now a privacy piece in there because now I go back a lot further when we go to the council desk and look up a person's name, address. This arose because of a problem and I put something in for this person. Council said, no, we will not give you the person's name. Had they explained this to me at the same time, it would have been a lot easier and I might have been able to get his thing resolved 12 months ago. But I appreciate the fact that we now all know that it's changed and how it works. So thank you very much to Council Office.
Okay. Thank you, Council Cramery. All right. There's no adoption of reports. Delivery program. Okay, I'll start through, I'll go through as I've done previously. So any items in outcome, item one or two, anyone have the call?
Just on the overland flood study.
Councillor Cramery, can I have a second? Are you moving that, Councillor Cramery?
Move the motion, yes.
Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Fowler. Councillor Cromery.
Yeah, this is another one of our overland flow studies, and if this rain keeps up, we're going to find out a little bit more. But it's important that Council continue to back this and work on all of these studies because they are very important to Penrith. If you came down Jane Street this afternoon, you'd see the water out across the road. I think our drains need cleaning to start with. So, so it's very important that we continue with all of these studies, and I thank Council for doing that. I'll move it.
Councillor Fowler, did you have any any other comments? All right, I'll move that. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Okay, outcome two, item three, request of major event sponsorship.
Sorry, did we get a mover for item two?
Item two, I'm moving.
Yes, item two, sorry, my apologies.
I'll move it.
Seconder, please, for item two, Councillor Fowler. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Moving on to item outcome two, item three, Councillor Fowler. Move it, seconder. All in favour? Against?
Declare that carried. Right, moving on to outcome three, items four and five. Have I got any calls for items four or five?
If there's no calls, I'm happy to move items four and five.
Can I get a second of four and five? Councillor Fowler. All in favour? Against? Declared that carried. Councillor McEwen and Councillor, can we just get the mics switched off? Thanks. Outcome four, items six, seven, eight and nine. I think Councillor Fowler, you after item nine, so I'll move to six, seven and eight.
Six.
Any of the other items? Do I have a mover for seven and eight? Just move that through. Move that through, Councillor Patusa. And second. All in favour for items seven and eight? Against? Declare that carried. You're going to move that, Councillor Davies?
Yes, Deputy Mayor.
I'll get a seconder for that item.
Second.
Councillor McEwen. Councillor Davies.
Thank you. This is a really good news story for Penrith. As you may know, I've got a passion for our open spaces, and in particular through the master plan when I was mayor in 2012, getting that instigated around parks that have been happening around, that have been built around the Great River Walk, but also our smaller play spaces around our city. This report talks about what's been accomplished in terms of shading of our parks, and I'd just like to give a little bit of background to how this came about. I had someone contact me in regards to a park that had recently been built in terms of development in Cadens. And they explained to me, this gentleman was a grandfather, would take his grandkids up there, but by about 10 o'clock in summer, he just couldn't use the play equipment. It was too hot. The actual equipment got too hot. And so I started to think about this and started to ask a lot of questions in and around, well, how come this play equipment wasn't, this brand new park wasn't built with enough shade so that it can be used? And so that triggered a number of things. Number one, it triggered all our parks and what the situation is there with shade. But the second factor was, do we actually have a policy around our development when there are new parks being built in new developments? And there wasn't. So this report here talks about what council, what we were able to do from that initiative. So to date, there was over $2.24 million that was committed by this council to address, at the time, 83 parks. 83 parks were given all sorts of shade. It was actual physical extra shade that was built, or there was tree planting. I think there had been a total of 621 trees planted with our local parks around the city. And with some additional funding along the way over the last couple of years, we've had a total of 93 play spaces as part of the dedicated shade program project. This is a great outcome because this is about our community being able to interact and be able to use the play spaces in and around our city. Secondly, is that we've also been on a bit of a path about cooling our city. And this is a very practical way in which it's been able to cool our city. I'm not into, you know, initiatives where it forces people down a particular avenue. But what this does, it gives people options and the ability to be able to interact with our play spaces much more throughout the whole year. Now, one of the great things about this policy, what's been achieved with the 93 spaces, another five to be added to that over the next coming year by the sounds of it, and all the tree planting that's taken place. But what this particular policy that we've been able to put in place is the impact that it's going to have not only around the Great River Walk that's happening, it's having an impact in the design of that, but all our future parks that are going to be built are going to be built with this policy around shade, whether it's a artificial shade with shade cloth sails or whether it's with extra trees or with trees for shading. And so this item tonight has had a huge impact right across our city and into the future. And I'm just really proud that this initiative that I put forward has been able to be worked out, put into place, and has been implemented successfully. and is going to have an impact not only now but well and well into the future of our city. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davis. Councillor McEwen, did you have any comments? Any other comments, councillors? Okay. All in favour? Against? I declare that carried. Okay, moving on to item 9, Councillor Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
You'd like to move? You're moving
No, I just want to give a little bit of background here. This is a situation that has arisen that goes back to probably 1998 in relation to a supposed lease that was supposed to have been written and executed between Penrith City Council and the then Department of Lands or whatever they were, whoever was in control of Penrith Lakes. Situation arose that that lease was never executed, and I must commend the DPI and the Office of Sport now that 23 or 4 years later that they're now wishing to have that lease executed and signed. There was a corresponding supposedly lease agreement or licence between Penrith Whitewater Stadium Limited, the operators of the facility, and Penrith City Council. Again, another document that was never signed and was never executed. So what was being happening out there is there has been a situation going on for some 23 odd years in relation to the running of the facility of the Penrith Whitewater Stadium. I must admit that stadium has probably been very successfully run over a number of years. However, in recent times, there has been a lack of continuing maintenance in relation to that due to the uncertainty of the ongoing operations. The Department of Sport, or the Office of Sport, or whatever they call themselves these days, now requires a lease to be signed between Penrith City Council and the Office of Sport or DPI or whoever the owners of the lands are. And that is what this report is about. However, it is incomplete in that signing that lease does not give any security to the agreement between Penrith Council, the unsigned agreement between Penrith City Council and Penrith Whitewater Stadium. So what is required here is an additional recommendation. And what I'm going to move, Mr. Deputy Mayor, is item 1, as is. Item 2, the lease be executed in accordance with the information provided in this report. Item 2A, the lease is not to be executed under a licence agreement for the use of the warm-up lake as entered into by PWS, Penrith Whitewater Stadium Limited, and the Office of Sport. Item 2B, Council enter into a licence with PWS, Penrith Whitewater Stadium Limited, to reflect the terms of the lease between Council and the Office of Strategic Lands, and that agreement includes both the warm-up lake and the existing facility. Item 3 then becomes a common seal of Penrith City Council via fixed to all necessary documentation.
Second. Yes, thank you.
Councillor Cummings.
Having been on Whitewater Stadium for quite a few terms, this has been raised a couple of times. It was all set to go and then it just died again twice. So I think it's far beyond time that we do it. And the additions that Councillor Fowler has made will make it a lot better. Then we can spend some money on the stadium out there. It is neglected and needs to be brightened up, but we can't spend any money on it if we don't own it or have anything control of it at all. So I fully commend the recommendation.
Councillor Davies.
Thank you. I just wanted to know what the, I might be ignorant, but what the purpose of the warm-up lake being added to the lease?
Councillor Fowler.
The warm-up lake has always been part of the facility in terms of Whitewater, because it's only a portion of the warm-up lake. It's where the flat water canoeists go and when they do exercises in relation to various obstacles. So it's part of the, really part of the Whitewater course, but it's necessary to have that area leased. I might add that the lease is only until the 30th of June 2023, which, and is from the 1st of July 2022. Need I say any more with relation to government?
Councillor Pattuso.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I've got a couple of questions. First of all, if this unsigned, unexecuted document has not been, is in existence, and it says in here the lease expired on the 31st of December, what costs have council borne already to date on any maintenance, on any events, on anything to do with the facility? And secondly, in terms of Councillor Fowler's proposed amendments, there was no mention of what time frame he was looking for a new agreement to have. Is it 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 99 years? Does it need an end date? Is my question. So it's the 30th of June 2023 is the end date, or is it the start date? That's what I'm saying. So the amendments are in line with the timeframes that are listed in the current proposal. Is that correct? Yeah, yes. Okay. So the only question I've got remaining that is, what costs has council already borne for running the facility?
Mr. Stephan, I think. Or Kess.
Councillors, I would have to take that on notice and provide a memo over the last 23 years of operations to do get that information. This lease just formalises how everyone's been operating together for the last 23 years, but it'll take me a little while to get all the costs over the last 23 years. The term of the lease did expire at the end of December 2021. We're operating under a permission to occupy, and now the Office of Strategic Lands need the licence or the lease signed to cover off their audit reports. So we're proposing a lease from 1 July 2022 to 30th of June 2022.
So, is that okay? Councillor Pattuso? Councillor Fowler.
Yeah, in terms of costs, there are obviously ongoing maintenance costs, which are day-to-day operational costs. There are some significant costs involved in upgrading the facility. One that comes to mind is the conveyor belt. Needs an overhaul, and some of the gabion walls, etc., need some attention. So that cost previously has been borne by Penrith Whitewater Stadium with the support of Penrith City Council up from July 1 to 30th of June 2023. I'm not aware of any major costs that are going to be spent by Penrith Whitewater Stadium or, for that matter, Penrith City Council, but there is some $3.1 million worth of works going on out there which have to be completed on or before the 30th of June 2023, which are being funded by the New South Wales State Government, if my memory is right, and that is to upgrade the facility and also to prepare the facility for the 2025 World Championships, which are going to be held there.
Councillor Hitchens. Madam Mayor.
I'm sorry, I'm working off this computer, it's not working. I just wanted to ask if Mr. Stephan could clarify for me. Has Council incurred any, I think this is the question that Councillor Pattuso asked, but I just want to make sure. Has Council incurred any cost since the lease expired in 2021 up until now? Have we paid for anything that normally would have been covered under the lease by the state government?
No, Council, under the unexecuted lease, the lessee being council was responsible for maintenance and asset renewal of all the assets on the land. Councillor Fowler referred to three World Championships in 2025. The Office of Sport are funding that. They had a budget allocation of 3.1, and the gabion wall and the conveyor are part of that process. So under the terms of the lease, council hasn't paid any more than what they were required to pay under the terms of the lease.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Deputy. I'm a little bit confused. So there hasn't been a lease signed in 23 years, but no lease in place, but we've been paying for the upkeep and the running of it. I just find that a little bizarre. Can someone give me a little bit more clarity around that?
I think the intent of the unexecuted lease has been met, and because it was drafted back in 1998, and Mr. Britton will confirm for me, we've basically, from a legal perspective, we're in a lease even though it's unexecuted. The terms and conditions have been more or less accepted and complied with, so neither party's breached the lease. We've all complied with the intent, but it just hasn't been signed, and we're just trying to formalise that.
Obviously, there's been successive different governments over that period of time. Have we tried to have the lease signed on from council's behalf?
Yeah, sorry, I just didn't hear that.
I think there was a problem with the title back in the bit. So all the documents were drafted. There was a problem with it was uncertainty as to the title. So initially it wasn't signed at that point. And then I think the government, there was some debate who was going to control it and who would, the lease was with. So, they didn't want it signed at that time because they couldn't work out which department was going to be the controller of it as such. And that's gone on for a number of years. We have made, I think, attempts on probably about six or seven occasions that I can recall over the years to get no response from the government. But I understand that the Auditor General's come in and said this is unacceptable and the lease needs to be signed.
Okay, well, I hope it's just a bureaucratic type of process, but obviously my antenna goes up because when a lease is not signed, it may be suiting someone better for it not to be signed than being signed under the conditions, so that's why my antenna goes up.
Thank you, Councillor Davis. Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. So my question is, what happens come 1 July and we have an expired lease again, a lease agreement again? So does it then revert back to that participation certificate or whatever it was you called
Mrs.
it?
Mrs. Stephen?
Permission to occupy,
that's him.
What it's
yep.
called. In the report, the acting general manager and I had met with the Office of Sport. Since 2019, the Office of Sport, and it's been reported to council in reports that we've done, have expressed an interest in taking it back into the Olympic venue. It's the only Olympic venue that's not in the Office of Sport infrastructure. They're still keen to do that. They're working through ministerial approval and Treasury approval, and whether or not that gets confirmed before 3rd of March, but they'll still work through that. There will be a transition plan that they would need to do once approvals are pending, and from our, I suppose my officer or council's responsibility, will need to ensure that happens. And then if it doesn't happen by the 30th of June, we'll need to make sure there's arrangements for extension or if council's going to continue to own it.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I just find it absolutely ridiculous that we still haven't got a decision on whether the government will or whichever department wants to own it on their bottom line, I suppose, if you like. Maybe that's the argy-bargy about where the cost centre sits for that particular item. As you say, it is the only Olympic venue doesn't sit with state government, but it's also the only Olympic venue that's actually making money or has been making money over the years. Look, I remember having briefings with the departments back in 2021 when I was mayor, and to have this come up to us tonight is ridiculous when we're in a situation where, you know, in four months' time, we're going to be right back where we are now simply because someone, you know, well, the Auditor General's picked it up quite obviously and rightly so, but it just is, you know, we need some finality. The Whitewater themselves need some sort of resolution for this. They need certainty on where they sit. The staff, especially, I know, have been very, very worried about what their fate will be with this. And I know that I'd had some conversations back in 2021. I was not in a position to make any information available because we had none. So we do need some finality for this, and certainly the staff and the Whitewater and the board out there do too.
Councillor McEwen? Is that a legacy or...?
Yep. Nah. Okay.
Councillor Davis? Make a
comment. Mr Deputy Mayor, so by the sounds of it, it sounds like there's a reason why it's expiring. It's only a 12-month in, because what you've indicated is that the state government are looking at the possibility of bringing it into the Olympic venues. I think that would be a great outcome and just give that certainty. And it seems that the state government, that's what they're wanting to do, to give it the proper funding and to give it that certainty. So there's probably... It's good that the Auditor General's picked this up. And so, obviously, it's clearly on their radar.
Councillor Hitchens.
Thank you. I actually just wanted to ask a question again from Mr. Stephan. Councillor McEwen made a comment that this Olympic statement is the only one that's actually making money, and my understanding is that this venue is not actually making money. Isn't council subsidising this venue?
This financial year, council is subsidising. It was breaking even on operational costs. I'm not sure about other Olympic venues. There's probably contributions from subsidies from state government for the other venues. But certainly because of the impacts of COVID, it's just hasn't made money in 570,000 was provided as a subsidy for operating costs this year.
Thank you, Mr. Stephan. Councillor Petusa.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Supplementary question, because I'm obviously the dumbest councillor here tonight. Mr. Stephan, can you tell me whether or not this is being driven by the government, or we're actually dealing with the departments, the Office of Strategic Lands and the Office of Sport, that are actually driving this agenda? Because that's what I think is happening. So I just want to get some clarity around that.
It's a very convoluted process that's been happening between ownership by council of the lease and PWS operating. The Office of Strategic Lands are the department responsible for government-owned land leases. So they're being driven by a need to meet their compliance issues with the Auditor General, and it's quite a serious issue for them to get that lease signed, executed. The Office of Sport is sort of looked at and contacted council in the first instance to take over operations of the Olympic. So their Office of Sport are keen to have the lease, support Office of Strategic Lands, have the lease signed, and they'll work towards taking over the operations. But it's more driven by the Office of Strategic Lands to close off their compliance matters with the Office of Auditor General.
Okay, Councillor Fowler. We'll finish up with Councillor Fowler.
There's been a number of questions raised. My recollection that there is no budgeted subsidy for this current financial year. Could you confirm that?
I confirm that there's a budgeted subsidy in 22-23 to be provided?
There was.
No budgeted subsidy the year prior, and there was one the year prior to that, though.
Yeah, to answer Councillor Hitchin's question, the facility has been operating at a deficit over probably the last three to 5 years. However, for the 18 or so years before that, it was basically operating at a surplus. My major concern is that this agreement does not account or look after the existing staff of the facility come 30th of June 2023. And that, to me, is paramount because we have quite a number or two or three really dedicated people out there who've been operating that facility for the last 20 or so years. Plus, we have a lot of other sort of ancillary staff who've been there for probably not quite as long, but certainly as long. And they are extremely dedicated to their job and they're extremely dedicated to the facility. And without them, the results probably wouldn't be as good or would be worse than what they have been over the last number of years. So my concern, and I put it on notice now, that we need to, as a council, because that's where it lies, make sure that the employment of these people going forward is secured, because there's no way this Office of Sport can operate it without them. There's so much intellectual and personal knowledge out there. And the other thing, just by way of saying, whilst there's no legally signed document, the facility has been operated in accordance with those documents that are unexecuted. And there have been relatively few, if any, issues between the Office of Sport or the Department of Planning or whoever was the owner of the property at the time, and Penrith-Whitewater Stadium, and for that matter, between Penrith-Whitewater Stadium and Penrith City Council. So you can rest assured that whilst there might not be anything that's signed, the operations have been conducted in accordance with the rules and regulations that they need to be and have been enforced from time to time. So what we really need to do here is consent to this recommendation or pass this recommendation, but having said so, make sure that the operations of the facility are handed over in a proper form and fashion come 30th of June or 1st of July 2023, and that the staff that are operating that facility are placed and no detriment to them in relation to their service and other entitlements that they may or could have into the future.
Thank you, Councillor. I think it's important that we get a further report back to a briefing on this matter moving forward, seeing what the future holds after the 1st of July 2023. I think it's important that we all know where we move to from there. So if we can...
So we can do that. If with the seconder's consent, I'll add that as a fourth recommendation, that a briefing come back to council, an urgent briefing come back to council in relation to the ongoing operations of the Penrith-Whitewater Stadium post 30th of June 2023.
Get that added. And seconder's happy with that? Yep.
Fantastic.
All right. I'll move that. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Okay. Moving 10 and 11, covers second of the 10 and 11, unless anyone wants to separate call. Councillor Davies, all in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Okay.
Just a question, when will we get some information on the Friday and Saturday conference?
Mr. Minister. Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, the information will start to come out this week. With an information pack prior to the actual event as well, around some content. If there's any other sort of further information in relation to arrangements or logistics.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a question, Mr. Mayor.
Moving on to urgent business, Councillor McEwen.
Mr Deputy Mayor, I have an item of urgency that I would ask that you treat as urgent. Mayor Hitchin and myself attended the Zonta Christmas event in December, where we were talking to the committee there. They're having their 30-year anniversary, which is only in a matter of weeks, actually. And in order to be able to put on a celebration, they spoke to us about the possibility of our council being able to help fund part of that. And I would like to put to council that Zonta receive $1,000, which is divided equally amongst the three wards, as it is Zonta of Nepean Valley, so it does cover the whole of the LGA. And happy to wait for a seconder.
I'll take that as urgent, as it's in a very tight time frame.
Very, very tight time
frame. And as soon as it's...
Sorry. Happy to second it, but prior notice would have been nice. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Take a note, councillors.
I'm happy for the extra cent to come out of the South Ward Voted Works if I could get Councillor Davies and Councillor Rousseff and Councillor Day's concurrence that happens.
I think we'll be right. All right. All in favour? Against? Declared that carried. There's no other urgent business. Move into the Committee of the Whole. Okay. Councillor, as per the agenda, we have now moved into the Committee of the Whole to deal with confidential business. Could I have a motion that the meeting be closed to the press and the public to discuss confidential business as recommended in item 1 of the report of Committee of the Whole? Councillor Patusa, thank you. Is there any member of the public who wishes to make representations about the closure of this part of the meeting?
The Committee of the Whole met at 7:51 p.m. on Monday, January 30, 2023, the following being present: Worship the Mayor, Councillor Hitchin, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Todd Carney, and Councillors Bertusa, Cook, Cramery, Davies, Day, Fowler, Gardner, McEwen, Rousseff and Shipley. And the Committee of the Whole excluded the press and public from the meeting for the reasons set out in Committee of the Whole Item 1, and the Committee of the Whole submitted the following recommendations to Council. Item 2, road lease agreement, unused road reserve, adjacent lot 10DP607528, known as 2257 to 2265 Castlereagh Road, Penrith, recommended on the motion of Councillor Fowler, seconded Councillor Davies, that the information contained in the report be received. Public notice of the proposed lease is given in accordance with Section 154 of the Roads Act 1993. If any objections are received in response to the public notice, a report be brought back to Council for consideration of those submissions. If no objections are received in response to the public notice, Council approve the proposed new road lease agreement under the terms and conditions listed within the report. Item 5, the common seal of the Council of the City of Penrith be affixed to all documents as required, and the General Manager or his delegate be authorised to sign all necessary legal documents in relation to this matter.
Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor McEwen, seconder. Councillor Day. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. And I will close the meeting. Thank you very much, councillors. Enjoy the rest of your evening.